In a few moments, you'll experience the live stream from LifePoint Church. I'm so glad that you're here to join us for that experience. At our church, our mission is to influence people to find and follow Jesus. We want to see people find Jesus, in other words, believe in him for their salvation. And then after that, we want to see those believers follow Christ in a life of wholehearted devotion. All of our energy and effort is put into serving you, helping you experience that. So maybe you're joining us from another part of the world or another state in the United States. We're glad that you're here. My encouragement to you would be wherever you are in the world, find a local body of believers to get involved with. Don't let this be your church alone. And then for those of you that are in our local area or maybe even part of our church family, perhaps some of you are on vacation or some of you have kids that are sick or for whatever reason you decided to stay in this weekend. And I would just invite you to consider not using our live stream as a substitute for the church experience. Make sure you're involved in community. We have the wonder of technology to take advantage of experiencing a service through computer and in our own homes, but that's not the church. I would invite you to come and be part of community. You can do that especially through small groups here at our church. I would invite you to get connected with people, share life together, be part of what God is doing in each other's lives. It's a very powerful thing. And then, of course, as you're watching via live stream, I would invite you to participate in the act of worship through giving. I would encourage you to go on to our website, lifepointchurch.us. There you can find a tab to click, and you can be a part of this experience through the giving of your gifts. My deepest prayer is that God would use the experience of this service to change you, to draw you closer to himself. I hope you enjoy this time together.
Good morning. Welcome, everybody. It's great to see you. Welcome to everyone that is joining us in the video cafe or online streaming. We're so glad that you guys are with us. This is week 8 of our series, Relatable. We're spending the summer talking about relationships. And the reason we're doing that is because relationships matter to God. In fact, when our life is over and we look back at the things that really matter to us, I think what we're going to find is that the only two things that really remain, that are really important, are our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. You know, that's what we were created for. We were created to live in relationship with God and relationship with one another. And that's really what life is ultimately all about. And everything else is just kind of dressing and things that we get to do. It's the relationships that really matter. And one of the problems that we have is that we are sinful, broken people. And so we struggle with relationships. We don't relate well to God. We don't relate well with each other. It's difficult. And that's what this series is all about, is helping us to identify some of those areas where we get a little sideways with our relationships and learning how we can do better with that. How can we be better at relationships? And this week, I want to explore one of the key ways that we can be better at being relatable, and that's listening. And so since listening is our topic, I need to begin with a confession. I am a bad listener. And all you need to do is ask my wife to learn this. And just the other day, she stopped and she said, "You weren't even listening, were you?" And I thought, that's a really weird way to begin a conversation. I am a terrible listener. I have a superpower. It's a really subtle one. I can listen to someone talking, I can respond, I can make eye contact, I can answer questions and not hear a daggone thing that's been said. I have lived in my house for 12 years and I still do not know where the towels are kept. The regular conversation, "Sweetie, where are the towels?" I tell you this all the time. Yes, it's unlearnable, okay? I don't know where the towels are. She's like, I tell you this all the time. How do you not know? Like, look, you should know by now that I can't retain this information, which just proves that she doesn't listen either. See, being married is like having a best friend that doesn't remember anything that you say. And unfortunately, our kids have inherited this superpower. So things are unlearnable for them. Things like, when you leave the room, turn off the light. When you enter the house, shut the door. When you're done eating, take your dishes to the sink. Unlearnable. Doesn't matter how many times they hear it. And then there's the great words at the end of the day. Time to go to bed. So little known fact, the English words time to go to bed sound exactly like a Babylonian summoning ritual that calls forth the demon Insomnius. And Insomnius takes possession of children and turns them into hyperactive, thirsty philosophers who need a hug every night for 2 hours. But my favorite is the conversation I have every day where my kids say, Dad, can I have something to eat? Sure. What do you want? What do we have? I list what we have. Silence and blank staring. So what do you want? What do we have? Ah, every single day. Listening is difficult. And you know, these examples are trivial and maybe they're aggravating, but they kind of make life fun and give us something to complain about. But you know, when it comes to the stuff of life that really matters, the stuff of the soul, the stuff that's super important in life, listening matters. Listening really matters. Psychologist David Augsburg says this, that being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. Being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, the two are almost indistinguishable. You see, when we're heard, it communicates something to us. When someone listens, it tells us something without them having to say a thing. It tells us that we're valued, that we matter, that we're worth hearing, that we have a voice, that we're loved. You know, when things are tough, or even when things are just important, we remember certain people in our lives. We remember the people who were there, the people that showed up. And a couple weeks ago, Brad Lindner talked about the art of showing up and what that looks like. But we also remember the people who listened, and generally they're the same people. We remember the people that listened when we needed someone to hear us, when we needed a voice. Who were those people in your life? Who were those people that listened when it really mattered? I'm willing to bet that it doesn't take you very long to think of who those people are, for those people to come into your mind. You know, for me, there are people like a guy named Brian Winterstein and Gary Alker, who when I was in high school and I was trying to figure life out and I was struggling with a lot of different things that, you know, the typical things that teenagers struggle with, the things that now looking back as an adult seem like they're trivial, but when you're a teenager, they're really important. And these two adults came into my life and they listened. And they heard what I was struggling with. As ridiculous as it might seem now in hindsight, it mattered to me, so it mattered to them. And they showed up in my life repeatedly, over and over and over again. And they took what I had to say seriously. They heard me. And I know that one of the chief reasons that I'm up here now, that I do what I do with my life, is because they heard. Because they listened. They showed up and they heard me. Listening is incredibly powerful. And we can see the power of listening all throughout the life of Jesus. So we're going to look just together right now at one of those times. If you have a Bible, we're going to be in the book of Luke, which is the third book of the New Testament. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, please just go to guest services after service or get up and go get one now. And we'd be happy to just give you a Bible. It's our gift to you. So we're going to be in Luke 18, and I love Luke 18 because the entire chapter, actually, everything has to do with listening, and it kind of comes to a crescendo with this story about the importance and the power of listening. We're going to begin in verse 35. So let's read together. As Jesus drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging, and hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant, and they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. and he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Look what changed when Jesus listened. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. So what Jesus did here was incredibly radical. Because in the context of Jesus' culture, a blind beggar was unclean, unworthy, irrelevant, unimportant, didn't matter. That society would look at someone that was blind and begging as someone that was cursed by God. Because the formula that they used was whatever caused his blindness had something to do with his sin. So he kind of deserved it. He's not worth your time. He's not worth hearing. Jesus was kind of the prophet of the moment. This was before the people turned on him. And he was he was the guy everyone was following. And as they saw this blind beggar crying out, the people were like, "He does not have time for you. Don't matter. Jesus has more important things to do, and we're off to do those things." But Jesus heard this person that everyone else thought was insignificant. And it changed the course of his life. It gave him sight. It gave him a new direction in life. You know, we may not be able to affect the kind of miracles that Jesus did, but I want to suggest that sometimes just hearing someone that doesn't feel like they have a voice is healing enough. And it can do the same thing that Jesus did. It can provide sight and a way forward. Psychologist Carl Rogers says this: "When I have been listened to, when I've been heard, I am able to re-perceive my world in a new way and go on. Confusions that seemed irredeemable turn into relatively clear flowing streams when one is heard." Listening has the power to give someone sight, to be able to see a new way forward where they couldn't see a way forward before, to help us recover sight. When Brian and Gary listened to me when I was in high school, I was able to see a new way forward. I eventually was able to see Jesus. I was able to recover my sight and move forward with my life where things were so confusing before. A couple years ago, I got really lost. I went to some really dark places, and I was losing sight. I wasn't sure how I was going to move forward. It got so bad that I decided I needed to go have someone listen to me that's a professional. And so I went to counseling, and for 2.5 years, this person listened to me. And over time, I began to be able to see my way forward. It took a while, but listening let me know I wasn't alone. It let me know I could go forward, that someone was there, and that there was a way forward. And so all the confusion eventually turned into clear, flowing streams. So who were those people for you? Who were those people that gave you sight when you couldn't see a way forward, that listened when you needed someone to listen? Can I just suggest that maybe take some time this week and drop them an email or a note, just thanking them for what they did for you? And I also want to challenge all of us to think about, who are the beggars on the side of the road that no one else sees, that we hear crying out, that maybe we can hear and we can give sight to? Who are those people? God has put people in your path the same way this beggar was in Jesus' path, that you can hear and that you can tell, "Hey, you matter. I see you. I hear you. You're loved." Just pray about that. Maybe God will put someone in your path this week. Because being heard changes people for the better. It makes the impossible seem possible. But you know that the converse of that is also true. You know, unfortunately, many of us know the value of listening by the pain we experience in its absence. When we needed someone to hear us, when we needed a voice, and no one was there to hear. That also communicates something to us. When we need someone to listen and no one hears or no one will hear, it also tells us something. It tells us that we're not valued, that we don't matter, that we aren't loved, that our voice isn't welcome. Every single one of us has experienced that at some point in our lives. And we know the pain of what that's like. And the sociological studies on this topic, unfortunately, they show that the second experience, the experience of pain and not having a voice, far outweigh the first of being heard. And what we find when we look at the studies is that most people will say, I don't feel like I'm heard. I don't feel like people are interested in hearing me. I don't feel like I have a voice. But the crazy maker of it all is when you ask those same people, are you a good listener? Yes, I am. Well, the math doesn't work there. We can't live in a society full of great listeners where no one feels heard. So how do we explain that? What's going on? Well, if you remember a few weeks back, Mark Martin gave a sermon called Singing Off Key, which was about our lack of self-awareness. And I want to suggest that listening is one of those areas where we really lack self-awareness, where we think we're good listeners, but we're not. We think we can sing on key, but we can't. And we're singing off key very often when it comes to listening. And just like singing off key hurts the ear, failure to listen to people hurts the soul. So we're hurting people often without even knowing it by our failure to listen, and it makes us unrelatable. And you know, that makes sense to me because how can we relate to other people if we're not listening? But you know, I also want to suggest that when we don't listen, when we're singing off key, it doesn't just hurt others. It hurts us. We're hurting ourselves, and we don't even know it. The book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 18:13, it says this, to answer before listening, this is a folly and a shame. What the Bible is saying is that when we fail to listen, it makes us fools. You know, you might be thinking, yeah, fool's not so bad. I've been called worse. But in the context of the Bible, if you understand the culture that wrote this, to be called a fool, this was about the highest insult that you could give someone. Essentially, what you're saying in biblical context when you call someone a fool is, hey, you suck at life. That's not a nice thing to say to someone. But in the biblical context, a fool was someone who ignores wisdom and suffers negative consequences as a result. Someone who makes bad choices and gets bad results. You know, the popular saying, you know, everything happens for a reason. It's true, but sometimes the reason is that we're stupid and we make bad choices. Like, that's just the way that it is. But that's, to continue to live into that is to be a fool. To fail to listen is a bad choice. There's a guy at our church named Ray Cole. Some of you know him. And in his family, they kind of have their own family proverb that addresses this same topic. In their family, the way they would put this principle is, if you don't listen, you have to feel. Now, the wisdom of that proverb is not necessarily immediately evident. So let me explain what this means. A couple of weeks ago, we had this illustrated very well for our family. We were on vacation. It was crazy. 12 kids, 9 adults, 2 dogs, 1 house. Pretty nuts. And at the place we were staying, we had a pool, and the kids just loved the pool. But throughout the week, the adults constantly kept saying, don't run on the pool deck. Don't run on the pool deck. And then about midweek, it finally happened. My nephew, Reed, I was saying, Reed, don't run on the poof. Smacks his head on the pool deck. If you don't listen, you have to feel. You made a bad choice. Now, what Reed is thinking is, I'm having so much fun, and they want to stop me having fun. No, we want to stop you from having a concussion, because the pool is more fun than the emergency room. Running on the pool deck. If you don't listen, you have to feel. And this is just as true for adults as it is for kids. A couple years ago, I was leading a small group for young adult guys at our church, and one of the members of that group he kind of believed that he was an entrepreneur. He wanted to start a business. He had big dreams, big elaborate dreams, none of which were rooted in reality whatsoever. Like, his plans weren't going anywhere. And everyone in the group saw it. And we're like, look, man, you're singing off key and you don't know it. Like, we understand that this is your dream, but one of the things that we see that maybe you don't is that this just isn't who you are. Like you're pursuing something that just doesn't fit you, and it's going to cause you pain. And he just refused to hear it. And as the group continued for years, he just got more frustrated and even started, you know, bordering on despair. And he just wouldn't hear what everyone was trying to tell him. If you don't listen, you have to feel. When we don't listen, we have to feel the negative consequences of our choices. And we all do this. Every single one of us is running on the pool deck. How many of you have ever, I know I shouldn't eat that. It's going to give me indigestion, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know, I know I probably can't afford this, and I'm buying things that I don't have money for, but you know, I really want it. And then massive credit card debt. You know, I know I got to get up early for work tomorrow, but I just got this new PlayStation game, so 2 a.m., I should have gone to bed. If you don't listen, you have to feel. And you know, this is true. This power works in our relationships as well. Over time, if we don't listen, we're going to feel the pain of alienating others. This was kind of brought home to me just the other day. In the morning, I was getting my daughter ready. We were taking her into Baltimore City for speech therapy, and my boys were coming with me, Joseph and William. And so we're getting them all ready, trying to get them in the car, you know, running a little late, we got to go. And as I'm closing the deadbolt, the key snaps off in my hand. And I'm like, oh no. And immediately the panic sets in and, you know, everything starts screaming, this will never be solved and your entire life is ruined. And that's what you feel in the moment. And the truth is, you know, it cost me a half hour. I went to my in-laws and picked up a spare key and then, you know, used a pair of needle nose to get the key out. It really was not a huge inconvenience. But in that moment, all I could see was that broken key. And I was in the middle of a conversation with my oldest son, Joseph, and in my panic and in my focus, I just snapped at him and just bit his head off. And as I'm walking to the car, it dawned on me what I had done. And I immediately turned and said, Joseph, I'm so sorry. I said, I got too focused on what seemed like an insurmountable problem and I bit your head off and I shouldn't have done that. I should have kept listening to you and I'm sorry. And look, you may say, hey, look, give you a pass on that. That's, you know, we've all been there. But here's the thing. If I continue that pattern over time and I don't address it, I'm going to wind up with an adult child that never wants to talk to me because I don't listen. Over time, that takes effect and that pattern gets ingrained. And that's a pain that I never want to feel. I'd rather listen now. And if you look at the story of the Bible, you see that Israel is a nation that exemplifies this proverb. If you don't listen, you have to feel. Throughout their entire history, they refuse to listen to God, and God tells them what's going to happen, and they won't hear it. And so because they don't listen, they have to feel. And I want to propose that it's better to listen than to feel in this context. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, okay, if listening is this important, if I don't want to feel the negative consequences of not listening, then how can we learn to listen better? Because the studies show we don't do it well. So how can we listen well? Well, I think the place to begin is to understand what listening is. What is listening? Because it's more than just hearing someone. We can hear and not listen, as I demonstrate every day when it comes to things like towels. Listening, according to Henry Cloud, means to hear the person and to have the person know that you have heard them. Listening means to hear the person and to have the person know that you have heard them. Just hearing is not enough. Until they know they've been heard, you're not done listening. The beggar knew that Jesus had heard him. I knew that Gary and Brian had heard me when I came to them with my problems because they were listening, because they interacted, they connected, they asked questions. Listening is not passive. Listening is active. It asks questions. It seeks clarification. What do you mean by that? Help me understand this. Are you saying this? That's what listening does. It's not a passive activity. We have to engage with another person so that they know that they're heard. And when we see what listening is, we very quickly see the goal of listening. The goal of listening is understanding. The goal of listening to someone is understanding them. When someone listens to us, we feel understood. And when we feel understood, We know something that is really important and really powerful. We know that we're not alone. There is so much power in just that simple knowledge. To know that whenever I'm bringing forth, I'm not alone. You know, like the beggar who thought that he didn't matter, when his voice was heard, he knew that he was seen. In fact, he knew that the God of the universe saw him. When someone sees us, we know that we matter. We know that we're not alone in whatever we're dealing with. And when we know we're not alone, when we know that we've been understood and we've been heard, those next steps forward that seem impossible, now maybe I can take one because I know someone's there with me. And unfortunately, though, I think often, maybe more often than not, our approach to listening is not usually geared towards understanding. I think more often than not, our approach to listening is about responding, not understanding. Stephen Covey, who wrote the book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, says this about listening. Most people don't listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. I can't tell you how many times I've found myself, when I should have been listening to someone, more concerned about formulating my response. How am I going to respond to this? Whether it's to win an argument, or whether it, you know, I approach listening as a debate, or whether it's just, you know, what advice am I going to give? How am I going to fix this? How am I going to solve the problem for this person? How often do we listen to someone only for the purpose of formulating our response? And when we do that, we make it about us, not about them. And here's the thing, if we're listening to respond instead of to understand, how do we know that our response is even going to hit the mark? How do we know that our response has anything to do with what the person is bringing to us? In our family, my mother-in-law, she does this thing where she answers the question that she thinks you should have asked. She's like, hey, Faye, where do you want to go to dinner? 6:30. And so one of the fun games that we play sometimes is trying to figure out from her response what question she thought we should have asked. But see, that's, you know, and that's just a funny kind of thing in our family, but it illustrates the point of when we're too busy listening about and concerned about our response, we may not respond correctly because we haven't understood first. When our focus is our response, we're not really listening. That's actually just called waiting your turn. And we're likely to respond in a way that has nothing to do with what the person is bringing to us. And the Bible addresses us when we do this. When we listen to respond instead of to understand. Proverbs 18:2 says this, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. When we respond without listening, without understanding first, we are acting as fools. And that's going to lead us to places where when we don't listen, we have to feel. How can we know how to respond well if we haven't first understood what the person is bringing to us? Before we respond or reply, we need to slow down, listen, understand, and let the person know that they've been heard. Because after all, if they don't know that they've been heard, why would they care what we have to say anyway? Because until they know they've been heard, they don't feel loved, they don't feel like they matter, they don't feel valued. But here's the thing, as soon as they feel like they matter to you, as soon as they feel loved, as soon as someone feels like they matter, they want to hear what you have to say. So it is worth our time to slow down and hear the person, let them know that they've been heard, and let them feel understood. And when we do, we'll be able to respond well, if a response is needed at all. Because I think one of the things that we have to do when we approach listening, and we feel all this pressure to respond or to give advice or to offer encouragement, like, I gotta have something to say to this person. I think when we start feeling that pressure, we need to remind ourselves of something really important that's often overlooked. Listening is enough. You know, I think often the reason we don't listen is because we don't really believe that just listening to someone is enough. We feel this pressure like we've got to fix their problem, we've got to give them a solution, or we've got to provide encouragement so that they can go on, and we don't believe that just listening in and of itself is often enough. And you know, the desire to help and fix and solve and encourage, that all comes from a good place, but it doesn't always help. Listening is enough. About 6 years ago this summer, we learned while we were on vacation with my family that our daughter Grace was going to have Down syndrome, that she was going to be born with Down syndrome. And that has been an amazing adventure, but at the time when we got that news, it was really difficult. It was super hard to take. And we were kind of trying to figure out which way was up in the moment. And, you know, a lot of people said a lot of things to us, but the thing that I remember more than anything else that someone said was my brother-in-law, Eric. And when he found out the news, all he said was, "Mike, I'm so sorry. That's really hard." That was it. He didn't offer advice. He knew he couldn't solve the problem. He didn't try and encourage me. He just was there with me, letting me know that he heard me and that he understood how tough it was, what we were dealing with. That's what I remember. Just listening was enough. You know, I'm so grateful for our church because when we came back, there were other families that were further along the road, like the McCanns and the Granadas, and they just gave us the freedom to be sad and to process and let us know, hey, when you're ready to ask questions, we're here. But they started with hearing. They started with listening, letting us know that we were understood and that we weren't alone in this. It made such a huge difference. I'm so grateful for our Hugs ministry and the way that we embrace uniquely gifted people here at LifePoint. Listening, though, is enough. We don't need to fix the problems. We don't need to solve it. And you know, there's an episode from Jesus' life and his ministry that illustrates this point. It's in a slightly different context, but I think the principle still applies. This is in Luke chapter 10, beginning of verse 38. It says, "Now when they went their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And when she went up to him, she said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" Mary has chosen the good portion that will not be taken away from her. Mary chose to listen. Listening is the good portion. It's the better portion. Listening to Jesus was the better portion. Now, I think many of us, when we approach following Jesus, I think we approach it like Martha, where we're concerned and troubled about many things, and we're anxious, and we feel like we have to serve and produce and do, and that's what following Jesus is all about. Oh, Jesus is here. I gotta look busy. I have to be busy. I have to serve. I have to provide. And what Jesus is saying here is, no, listening is enough. And he's not saying that Martha was doing anything wrong. And his response tells us that, because to say Martha, Martha, that's a term of endearment. It's a term of affection. He's saying, "Dear Martha, you're troubled and anxious about many things, and you don't need to be. What Mary has chosen is better." See, Martha just assumed that Jesus needed to be waited on. She didn't even ask. She didn't stop to listen. And what if Martha had just asked and had listened first? You know, there is a time for a response, and there is a time to offer advice and encouragement, but listening has to come first. It's the better portion. Listening should be prior to action. And you know, that's true in this context. It's also true in our context, in our relationship with each other. Listening is enough. Listening has to come first. You know, we feel this pressure to solve and encourage and fix, and we're anxious and troubled about many things. But if we just remind ourselves that listening is enough, if we can just bring ourselves to believe that listening is enough, that it's the better portion, it'll take all the pressure off and allow us to just be there for people and do the things that really matter and make a difference. So if we believe that listening is enough, the pressure's off to solve the problems. We can just seek to understand, to be there with someone, to hear, to let them know they're heard, to let them know they're not alone. And more often than not, that's enough. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you are a God that always hears us, that always listens, and no matter how insignificant we might think our problems are, no matter how insignificant others might think our problems are, if it's important to us, you want to hear it. We can bring anything to you and know that you hear us and that you're with us, that we're not alone. And Father, I pray that you would make us a congregation, that you would make us a people that listen, that slow down and seek to understand others, that are just present and believe that listening is enough. That as we do that, that we would find healing in our own souls, that we might find ourselves giving sight to others who can't see their way forward, that we might be a light in darkness for a community that's lost. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.